Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. A vaccine being developed by Oxford University researchers shows promise in the fight against the coronavirus.
A small safety study of a vaccine being developed by Oxford University scientists found promise that it might just be able to treat the virus. Dr. Adrian Hill, the director of the Jenner Institute at Oxford, says half of the 1,000 subjects were inoculated with the vaccine and...
We are seeing good immune responses in almost everybody.
Larger trials are underway in the UK, South Africa, and Brazil. Even larger ones start soon in the US. The World Health Organization's Dr. Michael Ryan says as researchers succeed, there could become an ethical dilemma.
We are going to have to prioritize who gets what vaccine at the beginning.
I'm Tim McGuire.
Meanwhile, with rising COVID cases, President Trump says it's time to bring back the daily White House coronavirus task force briefing.
We have had this big flare-up in Florida, Texas, a couple of other places. So I think what we're going to do is I'll get involved and we'll start doing briefings.
President Trump is also vowing to send more federal law enforcement officers to cities dealing with violence and unrest.
The president is defending the deployment of federal law enforcement officers to cities, including Portland, Oregon.
Portland was totally out of control. The Democrats, the liberal Democrats running the place, had no idea what they were doing.
Mr. Trump is denouncing the violence and the demonstrations and is promising to send more federal agents to other cities, including Chicago and New York. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Big technology companies powered stocks higher on Wall Street Monday, extending the market's gains after a three-week winning streak. The NASDAQ was up by 263 points, with the Dow up by 9 points, and the S&P 500 advancing 27. More at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, CEO and founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare contracts, and in the process started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. Timeshare is the only thing that you can buy that you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. When you buy a timeshare, you give them a blank check to fill out any amount they want for annual maintenance and assessment fees. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Stop the insanity today. Call my office now. I guarantee if we can't cancel your timeshare contract, you'll pay nothing.
Were you lied to when buying a timeshare and want out? Get the facts about timeshare cancellation. Call Wesley now for your free information kit. 800-917-5151. 800-917-5151. 800-917-5151.
It's 4:04. This is a KMZQ News Flash. I'm Jim Dallas. Nevada's special legislative session to bridge a $1.2 billion budget gap has come to an end. The state once again has a balanced budget. The 12-day session did not likely end Nevada's pandemic-related budget woes, however. But Governor Sisolak said he would postpone calling a second special legislative session due to the concerns about COVID-19. The past budget deal restored about $139 million to the state budget through transfers and reallocation of other existing revenues. The total amount of the agency cuts is now around $400 million. That's down from $535 million. An increase in passenger volume prompts the Regional Transportation Commission to increase bus service in the valley. Starting today, weekday bus service will begin running on a Saturday schedule. Since mid-March, the bus system was running on a Sunday schedule due to the severe drop in ridership because of the coronavirus. Raiders owner Mark Davis says given what he knows right now, the team will likely play in an empty Allegiant Stadium this season due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The team owner reiterated a stance that either all of the fans who bought tickets will be allowed to attend the games or none of them will. The Jets and the Giants reported today.
KMCQ On-Time Traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
We're getting some heavy volumes right now on the Beltway 215 West, beginning around Green Valley, but you're slow well beyond that. Those lane restrictions continue. Pecos at the 215 and a vehicle fire. That's at the Spaghetti Bowl. 515 northbound at Las Vegas Boulevard.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. It got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media.
Listen
up! NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two! Time is running out!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
And this hour brought to you by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable healthcare option that allows you to enroll any time of the year. In fact, you could do it right now if you want. Call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY, or check it out on your smartphone at libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. The president did something that doesn't really surprise me. He is very confident of his skills to ad lib. He doesn't require, and in fact, I've been at his speeches where he essentially goes off the teleprompter about 30, 40, 50% of the time. In fact, he did that for a speech here, and I was sitting right behind him, and I watched the teleprompter, and I watched what he was talking about, and he went off the teleprompter all the time. In fact, in that speech, it was closer to 60% was off the cuff. But what the president did over the weekend is he essentially went one-on-one with Chris Wallace. In fact, I want to go to cut number two. This is from Fox News Sunday. And it was a tough question. The president has, by his own admission, he has struggled in the polls. He doesn't buy the polls. He doesn't understand the polls. He honestly believes that the polls are not true. They're fake news. But this was the president on Fox News Sunday yesterday with Chris Wallace. Cut to, here it is.
In the national horse race, Joe Biden leads you by 8 points, 49% to 41. That's, I think, 3-4 points slimmer than it was a month ago. And on the issues, people trust Biden more to handle the coronavirus by 17 points, on race relations by 21 points, and even on the economy, they trust Biden more by 1 point. I understand we still have more than 100 days to this election, but at this point, you're losing.
First of all, I'm not losing. Because those are fake polls. They were fake in 2016, and now they're even more fake. The polls were much worse in 2016. They interviewed 22% Republican. Well, how do you do 22% Republican? You see what's going on. I have other polls that put me leading, and we have polls where I'm leading.
I have a poll where we're leading in every swing state. And I don't believe that you're, first of all, the Fox polls, whoever does your Fox polls, they're among the worst. They got it all wrong in 2016. They've been wrong on every poll I've ever seen.
I must tell you.
No, I'm just telling you. And let me ask you this. So on the economy, so I've always led on the economy by a lot.
I know, which is why I was
Biden
surprised by this
number. Biden can't
put
two sentences together. They wheel him out. He goes up. He repeats. They ask him questions. He reads a teleprompter. And then he goes back into his basement. You tell me the American people want to have that in an age where we're in trouble with other nations that are looking to do numbers on us.
So let me ask you a direct question. I'm going to ask you a direct question about Joe Biden. Is Joe Biden senile?
I don't want to say that. I say he's not competent to be president. To be president, you have to be sharp and tough and so many other things. He doesn't even come out of his basement. They think, oh, this is a great campaign. So he goes in. I'll then make a speech. It'll be a great speech. And some young guys start writing, Vice President Biden said this, 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 this. He didn't say it. Joe doesn't know he's alive, okay? He doesn't know he's alive.
Well, here is something that I did not know. That the president revealed in that interview with Chris Wallace. And that is that the state of Nevada, and I'm assuming the governor, don't hold me to that, but he is the chief officer here in Nevada, is the governor, Governor Sisolak, and that he is keeping the president from holding a rally here in Las Vegas. I kept wondering why he wasn't having a rally here. And now we're finding out the state won't let him. It's just bizarre. We'll get to the president a little bit later on. First, I want to check in with our buddy Scott Hammond, the state senator, Nevada District 18, just finishing up a 12-day special session, and he joins us. Are you back in town yet, or are you still up in Carson?
I'm still up in Carson. Good to hear you again, Kevin. Still up in Carson, finishing up a little bit of business, and then on my way early in the morning.
Good for you. Be safe. Be safe on your way back. 12 days. You started out with a $1.2 billion shortfall. 12 days. What did you get done in the 12 days? And did you fix the problem or just put a Band-Aid on the problem?
Well, it's, you know, we balanced the budget. That's what we were sent up here to do. We were told this is what revenues we are not getting in. And what do we do? And so we were handed the governor's plan, which, you know, I think everybody can agree, it was woefully short of what we really wanted to achieve. And good thing that he called us up here, because you needed an extra set of eyes on that. I think that they just missed a lot of money that was available. And I'll give you an example. So we got up here, we looked at it, and a lot of members of my caucus, especially those who had a lot of experience with the budget, they went over it and looked at what the revenues, where they were bringing money in. There were certain funds available. For example, they're going to do a tax amnesty program, you know, where they will forgive anybody who didn't pay their taxes, businesses who didn't pay their taxes, they'll forgive them if they would pay them now. And we've done this twice before, 2008, I think, 2010, and in both cases, given about the same number of people who they know have not paid taxes in that queue, they generated about $25 million, I think, close to $30 million the next time. And so when we got up there, they were telling us that there's probably only going to be $10 million out of that fund. So we asked them to, you know, look over those numbers again, recalculate, and it took them a few days. So it took us a couple days to identify funds like that, you know, categories like that. And then it took them a couple days to kind of redo the numbers, get back to us, verify everything. And then, you know, a week later, you know, we're sitting around. We showed them that we had the numbers. As you know, and many other people who may not know, the Republicans, before there was even a tax plan put on the table in the assembly, we had already said, here's where we can draw money, and this is where we would put it. And we put that $50 million in education. And the Democrats put that $50 million that they thought was out there, the extra $50 million, into state employees. Lo and behold, they found out that 6 weeks before the session began, about $250,000 put into several Democratic hands, including their caucuses, about $250,000 from AFSCME, which is the state employees union. So, it's not hard to figure out when you draw the lines where they put their priorities and where we put our priorities.
So, what happened with the state employees Originally, we were going to do one furlough day a month. What has changed, and who is it that ends up losing? It sounds to me like the taxpayers end up picking up the tab for this. Explain what happened with the furloughs and the state employees.
So I'll explain that, and I'll tell you that I think the reality is the people who get really, the people that are harmed the most, yes, the taxpayers and also those who were getting these services, we took a lot of money away from ENCHI and higher education. No doubt about it. They got hit pretty hard. We moved money around from them and put it towards state employees or wherever. I mean, you can't make a direct correlation. I know somebody will point that out to me later on, but let's put it this way. The state employees, they were going to take one day a month for a year. 6 days equates to about $25 million. 12 days would be about $50 million. We took $25 million away from ENCHI, and we took 6 furlough days away from state employees. So you can draw your own conclusions there. I'm not saying there's a direct correlation, but I'm telling you that's where that money is. Now, that being said, the furlough days won't begin to take those furlough days until January 2021. But they put it, you know, they put a clause in AB3. They put something in AB3 that basically says if any more money comes from the federal government to aid in recovery for states because of COVID, we put an add back list, or at least the Democrats put an add back list into that bill, and the furlough days for state employees is like third down on that list. So if the other two are taken care of, I think read by three, SB 178, and then furlough days. If money comes in before January, then those state employees won't feel that at all. You know, they'll be taken care of.
That's unbelievable, so and the taxpayers end up taking the hit.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think people should be a little outraged. I mean, I don't relish giving people furlough days, and I know state employees work really hard. But you know, the reality is a lot of those guys were at home or working, not unemployed, not drawing unemployment, and none of them had to worry about being laid off or being fired. And yet we've got 28-30% of our employees right now out there in the private sector who are not employed. Some of them still waiting around for unemployment insurance.
More coming up with Scott Hammond, State Senator, District 18. He just completed a 12-day special session in the 31st special session of the Nevada legislature. We'll talk more about what went down over the 12 days, and in particular, discipline on the part of Republicans. Did they stick together? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall. So good to have you with us on AM 670 KMZQ.
Whatever's on your mind, it's always best to talk about it.
I like talk radio.
Great you're talking about this. This is a great day.
You gotta listen to talk radio, and you gotta rise up. Can we just
talk? AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Do you or a member of your family suffer from chronic pain? Would you like to make the pain go away? Hey, Kevin Wall here. Then you need to check out the Pain Injury Brain Center of America, now open in Las Vegas. At PIPCOA, they treat your chronic pain without addictive drugs and with non-invasive pain-free therapy. I suffered from chronic pain due to an impingement of my rotator cuff. I tried cortisone shots, painful physical therapy, nothing worked. Then a friend suggested I contact PIPCOA, and after just 6-hour-long treatments, the pain went away. In fact, I canceled my scheduled surgery. And after a brief hiatus due to the coronavirus, PIPCOA is back accepting appointments. Whether your pain comes from headaches, a disc injury, broken bones, hip or knee injury, neuropathy, even PTSD, regardless of the source of your pain, PIPCOA can make the pain go away. You don't have to live with the chronic pain. Make the pain go away. Call PIPCOA at 702-546-8767. That number again, 702-546-8767.
I'm attorney Glenn Lerner. You never saw it coming.
In the blink of an eye, a car wreck has left you seriously injured. You made it to the hospital and you received medical care, but your problems have only just begun.
I'm attorney Kevin Rowe. After the wreck, how are you going to get the money you need to get your car fixed, for medical bills, for lost wages? How are you going to provide for your family now? Get the legal help you want when you need it most, right now.
Lerner and Rowe is the way to go. Call 877-1500.
Scott Guido, managing attorney. Kevin Rowe is only licensed in Arizona, New Mexico, Oregon, Washington, and Illinois.
Let's face it, these are challenging times. Hey, Kevin Wall here for SRT Special Services. Since 2014, SRT Special Services has provided Southern Nevada businesses with executive protection, safe rooms, residential security, and more. Now, in the COVID-19 era, it's important to know who's coming into your place of business. Ask the pros at SRT Special Services about the Liberty AI with facial recognition and thermal scanning. The Liberty AI can let you know if the next customer through your front door is running a temperature, protecting your employees, your customers, and your corporate liability. Facial recognition and temperature scanning technology has been out there for years. Now, the security pros at SRT Special Services can offer the Liberty AI at a price that even small mom-and-pop businesses can afford. If your business deals with the general public, you need the Liberty AI for SRT Special Services. Call 702-221-1942. That's 702-221-1942. Call today.
Very few vehicles can do more than the 2020 Land Rover Discovery Sport. From conquering the world's urban to not-so-urban obstacles, no other vehicle in its class is more capable than the Discovery Sport. And with 0% interest financing currently available for up to 72 months on approved credit, now is the right time to own yours. Come see for yourself today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas, 6425 Roy Horn Way, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
Embarrassed about your ugly fungal infected feet? You bet you are. And you have been buying those rotten antifungal products. See, nothing happens. They just sit there and don't work.
Of course they don't. But a new breakthrough discovery is now being marketed as Bye-Bye Fungus. And it is the answer to your problems. Bye-Bye Fungus is fast-acting and has been found by dermatologists to be a topical formulation that actually works. Bye-Bye Fungus is budget-friendly, painless, has no hideous side effects, and it's as easy to apply as nail polish. But above all else, it's effective. So effective, it's patented. Call 1-800-258-3635 and ask us for Bye-Bye Fungus. That's 1-800-258-3635. Or visit us at byebyefungus.com and say Bye-Bye Fungus, hello sandals.
I'll see you later. Okay. So Dr. Pui is the best of the best of the leukemia doctors at St. Jude. And we very quickly found out how much he loves his patients. One of our first visits with Dr. Pui, and he was kind of running through the protocol and naming off all the medications. And he said, but don't worry, you don't pay that. St. Jude pays that. Just to think, like, and what if they didn't?
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures. Saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Big name guests, the news of the day, mixed in with a diversity of opinions. Live and local with Kevin Wall, weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
So good to have you with us. Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, Nevada District 18, still in Carson City. They wrapped up last night. In fact, I'll tell you what, let's do. Let's go to cut four. This was this is cut number four. Nicole Cannizzaro, Nevada State Senate, gaveling out the 31st special session. Here it is.
Thank you, Mr. President. Pro tempore, I move that the 31st special session of the Senate of the Legislature of the State of Nevada adjourn, sine die.
You have heard Senator Cannizzaro's motion. All those in favor signify by saying yay. Opposed, nay.
Yay.
The motion is carried. The 31st special session of the Nevada Legislature is adjourned. Sine die.
Sine die. And by the way, for those that don't know, what is that, Latin, what does sine die mean?
Sine die, I believe, is the end of something. I looked it up a while ago. I knew Latin. I speak Spanish. You think I know it offhand? I wasn't expecting you to ask me that, Kevin.
I'm sorry. I ambushed you, and I shouldn't have, and I apologize. I believe that's day. I believe Dai is somebody that goes to a Catholic a prep school will probably that took 4 years of Latin will probably know that. I should, because that's what I did. Were you surprised this thing went 12 days?
Oh, very surprised. Very surprised indeed. In Sunny Day is like adjournment. It's like the end of the day, if I'm not mistaken. That's what it was. But, yeah, I was really shocked that it went this long. It couldn't have gone that long. You know, typically, and I don't want to be that person who keeps saying this is what went wrong. I want to let people know, you know, kind of how things are in a way it should be. This is how it ought to be. When you go up for a special session, there's got to be a compelling reason to be brought to special session. The hit to our economy was that reason. There was a reason for us going up there. We had to adjust. We had to balance our budget. We had to make sure that everything was being paid off. And so there was a reason for that. But typically what happens is when the governor calls you into special session, he has everything ready, everything buttoned up. You go up there, you might have a few debates over a few things like this. You know, we worked with the Democrats in the Senate and said, here's where we think money is. They agreed. We went through the whole thing. We agreed for the most part on where we could find more money. What we disagreed was how to allocate that money. But that's not, you know, the reason that the session kept going is because they kind of dragged their heels on a few things. You had Assembly Bill 2, which came up. They wasted a whole day on Assembly Bill 2. That was that money that would sweep money from the individual school sites and put it into Clark County School District. The governor put it as part of his agenda. I know that he's trying to throw JARA under the bus, and a lot of people are upset with what JARA did. There was a little spat between the speaker and JARA and Valadita, who's the CCEA. I mean, they're all wrapped up into this discussion. But the reality is the governor sets the agenda. It's his agenda. He owns it. And so he needs to make sure he knows what votes he has or doesn't have before we go into session. And, for 12 days, it actually was 14 days. We had 2 days that we didn't even do any work. It was a day off. And so we didn't do it. So it was actually more than that. You're right. No. My bad. It was 10 days, 2 days off. So it was 12 days altogether. You're right. So
by the way, our buddy, our mutual friend, Andrew Paul, who, by the way, didn't go to a Catholic prep school that I know of, Sinai Dai adjourned with no appointed date for resumption. That's, I guess, the legal translation of that. You were close to being in the super minority. You were one vote away from being in the minority, the super minority. And I guess my question is, did they listen to you? I mean, did you find that the Democrats took some of your ideas and said, that's pretty good?
Yeah, absolutely. They did. Look, we've got some pretty smart people on both sides in the Senate and the Assembly. We've got some people who needed to look at that budget. Senator Kefauver up here in the North, Senator Gantz up here in the North. Senator, you know, they've looked at this budget before. They've got a lot of experience. Senator Kefauver has put the budget together under different administrations. Gibbons, he worked in the Gibbons administration. So they knew what to look for, and they needed that extra set of eyes. And they did look. We were talking with them. We had lots of exchanges with the other side. It's towards the end that, they kind of stopped. As soon as they knew what the numbers were for sure, as soon as they verified what we were telling them, then, again, it was how do you allocate this money? And then, of course, it took a really different turn once they started talking about raising taxes on a singular industry, mining, once again, in the middle of a special session. All of a sudden, they came up with a bill. So that's where it's sort of going. It went sideways a little bit right there.
I want to ask you, because this has been played up in the media just in the last couple of days, Keith Pickard, the state senator from Henderson, and I've got to ask you, the reports are that at one point he was ready to vote with the Democrats, give them the supermajority, and allow a tax increase on mining, AB4, to go forward. And then he supposedly caucused with your group and came back and said, no, that's all right. I was for the tax increase before I was against it. That kind of the John Kerry thing. Can you tell us what happened on that stuff?
Sure, yeah, especially for those listening. I mean, we took a vote on that tax bill, and I'm going to get my days mixed up because it was, I think, There was a Thursday at 5 o'clock, 4:30, 5 o'clock, when the Assembly first heard that there's going to be this AB4. That was the first time. It was a bill that was resurrected from back in 2011. Assemblywoman Peggy Pierce originally introduced it, talked about not giving mines as many tax exemptions as they have, and reducing it by 40% or something like that. And that bill never made it out of committee in 2011. And that committee, that Assembly committee, was run by a Democrat. You know, they looked at that bill and said there were a lot of flaws with that bill. So here they bring back the bill.